Okay, so as I mentioned all the way at the beginning of the year, right, this is a thought experiment that I went through four times with Rabbi Clapper. Right, Clapper every summer, when he does his summer kollel, right, we learn a topic together for 5 weeks, and then at the end, we pose a theoretical halachic question, and then everyone has to write a tshuva and defend it. The goal of the exercise is, we won't do it exactly that way, obviously, but the goal of the exercise is to show that even if people have basically the same sources at their disposal, to show that you really will come with different conclusions, and also to, sort of emphasizes the extent to which Psak is not, clockwork. It's not like, it doesn't. You can't plug things into a machine, right? I can give you the same information, and the way you process it will be different. The second thing is that making a halachic decision, as we've talked about over the course of the year, requires weighing plausibility rather than just possibility, right? Because it requires you to make a decision with real consequences. Now, right, Clapper, the way he does it is always comes with a very, very sort of convoluted shaila that covers like every aspect of the topic that we did. I decided to take a shaila, which I think covers several issues. One which comes up in Moed Katan, and one which is sort of a derivative of what comes up in Avodah Zarah. But I wanted to, I want to really push you on this, and therefore this is a shaila. While I didn't actually get this shaila, right? This is a shaila that will actually happen all the time, right? This is not a. You will see this as soon as we read it in a second. This is not a theoretical shaila, and a lot of things we've talked about during the year, right? Shasat Chak, right, and things like that. And which sources count will come to the fore as you try to make a decision and write it up. You know, how formally you want to write it is up to you, but at some point, you will defend it. We'll figure out exactly the best way to do it. I don't know if it'll be in front of me and Roy Ginsburg, if we'll get an outsider as well, right? Like maybe to get, I was thinking maybe to get Yoni Rosenzweig from Amadim, considering he's written a Sefer of Shutim, right?
Yishrei
Leif. What?
Yishrei Leif,
exactly. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to take you through the basic sugyas that I think, at least, are relevant to the Shaila. But there could be others. And again, we're not going to go through every source, but I gave you, and I've tried in terms of secondary sources to give you a range, because I don't want to bias you, right? I've put things, right, on like given topics, I've given you everything from, Poskim in Bnei Brak to, Poskim at YCT, right? Like, like left-wing orthodoxy through Haredi, right? Because, I'm giving it to you, right? It's here, right? I'm not putting my gushpanka on anybody's shita on anything, right? This should not be taken as anything like that, right? My stamp of approval, right? Okay, here's the question. Okay? So, dear Rabbi, and I was approached by a family who suddenly lost a young child in a tragic accident. That should be a tragic accident, but okay. I'll edit it at some point. The family, as you can imagine, is distraught, right? So we'll do this, the thought experiment, right? I'm the middle rabbi, you're the rabbis that are poskening, okay? So I'm conveying the shaila to you. Now, the mother is inconsolable, and I've not spoken to her directly, right? I've talked to the father. The extended family, all live within several minute walk of each other, and the aunts are equally inconsolable, as if they'd lost their own child, okay? I was approached by the father and uncle of the child. They know that there are potential issues related to intimacy during the period of mourning, right, during Avelut, and there's also a problem of public displays of affection more generally. Their question is as follows. They know that their wives are going to be hysterical at the funeral, especially as the body is being buried. They want to know whether they can offer comforting hugs to their wives. Can they initiate them, or at least not actively prevent their wives from hugging them at that moment? However, this will cause extreme anguish to their wives. Is there a difference between the mother and father who are mourners, who are themselves Avelim, right, and the aunt and uncle and aunt who are not? Okay?
Okay. However, I assume means that they don't get hugged.
What?
However, I assume means that they don't get hugged.
If they don't get hugged, correct. Right? Meaning if they don't get the comforting, right? The comfort, yes. There you go. There you go. Okay? So I figure, this is the shaila I constructed because I think, right, sort of the issues that we've gone through during the year, right, you can see how right away this is a shasat chak question in the sense that, right, clearly, right, there is a desired goal on behalf of the Shoel, and possibly on behalf of the Meshiv as well, but that's for you to decide. But clearly the Shoel wants a particular answer, right? I constructed it in such a way to make that clear, right?
Sure.
I also took it now. to outline what I think the issues are that I've given you, that you can tell me that there are issues here that are not, that I have not thought of, and therefore I have to give you sources on. There's the question of public displays of affection, obviously, in general in halacha, right? Is it usur? Is it not usur? What counts? Which is a derivative of the sugya, which some of you have touched on, some of you have not, I don't know, but it's in the first paragraph of Odeh Zarah, among other places, the isurim of hirur, right? And causing others to have hirur, right? That's the extent to it. We'll see in a moment that this isur exists, right? Well,
Martin, I've seen it at least in Pekitas.
Okay, and if not, I've given you basics, but I've given you enough to understand that sugya here, but it is in the first parak. That's one, obviously. The second one is going to be the nature of the isur of intimacy during Avelus, right? Which is, for those of you who are learning Moed Katan, right? And then the third issue is that what I've given you here mostly, not entirely, is on the, you know, sort of public displays of affection issue, I've given you the basic sources, and most of the modern shailas that I found focus on things that are in between, right? Or not, right? Like, you know, I don't know, holding hands while you're walking and things like that, right? Where there, you'll see that there's some dispute. But pretty much everyone agrees to the extent that this isser, you know, to the extent that we will see the nature of this isser in a minute, that hugging counts as kibba, right? The problem in sort of determining this halachically, right, is going to be that in the classic sugyas, and this is where I didn't give you sources on this because I can give you as many as I want. I gave Sharon this for 3 weeks. I can point to you to whatever you want, but I haven't put it in this packet, right? The question of lotikravu in general and what counts as intimacy for that isser, right? Though here, obviously, that's not what's going on, right? There's not an isser of lotikravu, though it's, you know, related because, right, the isurim during Avelut in certain ways are similar to Nida. Nida is under lotikravu, right? Hugging is clearly up there in lotikravu, but that's because hugging and kissing are usually usually considered romantic or sexual, right? The issue here is that this is definitely chiba in the sense of affection,
right?
But there's good reason to believe it's not chiba in the sense of sexuality, and the question is, does that have any relevance lahalacha? Right? Right, so I purposely picked a case which is going to force making a decision on that issue. Okay, so that's what I've given you. And like I said, this source sheet, right? This sort of packet. Again, it's not as much as it looks like. I tried not to bias you, so like I included like full sections of certain things. I didn't want to like cut out quotes because those are the quotes that I think are the most important.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't work, right? If I'm trying to get you, if I included something from someone, I tried to include most of it or significant enough that you really get flavor, and I tried to mix some popular and sort of rabbinic texts because, you know, I want you to see the types of things that are out there when you have. Okay, so that's the shaila that I'm going to post. Fine. So this source is at least the first two issues, is the issue of public displays of affection and the Avelus one. We won't get through both, mm-hmm. right? I don't think. But let me give you, I think, the Rashi Prakim of the potential problems in public displays of affection, okay? The one shuv I didn't give you here in its entirety that I think is very good is in the book by Rabbi Avram and David, or the other way around, right? David and Avram Stav. Right, alphabetically, it would be Avram and David, but since one is the father and one is the son, I'll do David and Avram. Right. David Stav being the chief rabbi of Shoham, and he, you know, he ran for chief rabbi of Israel a few years ago, and his son, who was in Kol and Gush with me. I gave you the Makoros from their tshuva, right, and I gave you the conclusion from their tshuva, but if you want to read the whole thing inside, right, I have the book, you can look through it. Right, that'll be. I'll bring it in, and you can look through it. I, you know, sure. If I lend it to you, then you got to be careful because it's not mine. I borrowed it from.
Would giving a hug to somebody else's wife vada be aser? Why wouldn't it like raise a similar question?
So that's it might raise worse questions, right? I didn't get into that, but yes, it will be related questions, obviously. Right here, I wanted to, right? There's a number of limited number of issues you can get into, but theoretically, right? So, Munty makes a good point. This is so. No, Munty makes a very good point.
We're going to Mars?
What?
We're going to Mars?
I don't think so, because I think people said they have to leave. So.
What time are we leaving?
I don't know if I have. What time?
We'll go.
Wait, I could say.
You have to go to Mincha at 7?
Yeah.
You didn't do that with us?
No.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
7:55 is Mars.
Right. We'll figure it out.
So yeah, you guys can keep
on. Okay, we'll keep it. We'll figure it out. Okay, good. Fine.
Yes.
But so Munty's right that part of the reason I'm doing this is because, I want you to take this experiment seriously in the sense that, no, we're not publishing your tshuva anywhere, right? But I want you to imagine, right, that you are publishing this, and now the analysis that you put in writing, right, has consequences. Because someone can look at it and say, well, if I decide that a comforting hug is not derech hiba between a husband and a wife, right, so maybe it's not for someone else's wife, and am I okay with that?
Right.
Right? And if I'm not, how do I, A, either distinguish halachically, or even more importantly in a certain sense, is how do I articulate it such that no one makes the mistake that I think they're equivalent?
Right?
Right? Part of psak isn't just, and that's why, you know, I do want you to write it up. I don't care so much exactly how you write it, but I want you to realize that part of the process of psak is not just, this is what I think the answer is how am I going to convey my answer? Because, right, there are consequences to how you convey your answer. Okay? Because someone can look at it and say, right? Okay. So let's start with the question of the public display of affection, okay? Which I think is an interesting question in general. So the basic sugya that I think is in the background, right? It's not the actual sugya, it's the one that's in the background. That's the one from our perek, right? The first perek in Avodah Zarah. Which is that there is a prohibition of, and this is number one, Minishmartim called of a rush, that was just because it's Amud Aleph and Amud Bet, that Talmud isn't really there, just can get rid of it, right? Right? There's a prohibition of, right, you have to avoid called of a ra, which the Gemara will later explain means you don't want to be in a situation which will cause, which will cause one to have a tzedzera. So as part of that, you shouldn't stare at a beautiful woman, even if she's single, or a married woman, even if she's ugly, and not colored clothing, or, I mean, provocative clothing, or colored clothing, which in those times, most things were bland. So or these were the things that were provocative, or whatever. V'lo b'chamor, v'lo b'chamor, chamora, v'lo b'chazir, v'lo b'chazira, v'lo b'ofed, b'zman shen zorgan l'zeh, and you can't even watch animals when they're mating. Why? And the Gemara adds, "V'lo b'vigdei tzeva shel isha, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, afilu shtuchen al gabei akotel." Right, even if they're on the wall, right, in the closet, right.
Yeah.
And Amar Rabbi Makir ba'alehen, right, only if you know the owners. Meaning, this isn't like you can't go by a store, but if you know that this piece of clothing belongs to so and so, and like you know, when you see that clothes, you think about so and so, right? You shouldn't even be looking at the clothes, even when she's not there. And Amar Rabbi Dekanami Dekanim v'lo b'vigdei tzeva isha v'lo k'tani v'lo b'vigdei tzevonin. Because it says the clothes of a woman, not colored clothes, shmamina. Okay, and then the Gemara says, "Amar of Chizdan Emili Batike." That's only old clothing of a chadad de lislan ba de lomtem achi anan mina lashura hechi avina haga mistakel. Right, this is only new clothes. It's only old clothes, not new clothes. I mean, old clothes meaning that you identify with the woman. Fine. So the Gemara says, "Lutamechad Amar Yehuda bin b'mino muter lahachem kachol b'shofer." Right, come mistakel. But wait a second, we have a problem. How can a breeder of animals breed animals, which they're allowed to? They're even allowed to, right, physically put them together. So no, it's not a problem, right? They're working, okay. So in the background is the prohibition of it, of hirurei avera, okay, right? That I think is just the background to this. Now, what logically, what step do you therefore need to make? To go from there is an Isser of here or two, and therefore people shouldn't have public displays of affection, what step do you need to make?
Some sort of lifnei iver.
You're right, you need to come up with some sort of lifnei iver, right? So the other Gemara than this, I haven't seen, maybe it's in one of these, is sort of a parenthetical point, but I think I gave you one Gemara that could point to different ones, but since it's from Avodah Zarah, I brought it up, right? If you remember, right, in the Daf Yud Ches, when the Gemara is discussing Reb Chanina ben Tradyon and his family, and they're sentencing, the Gemara says, Reb Chanina ben Tradyon, Vabito Leisha Bekuba Shel Zonot, right? She was put in a brothel.
Right.
So the Gemara wants to know, why does she deserve this? Wasn't she at Tzadikas? So the Amr of Yochanan, Pam Achad, is a bito mahalechel from Negadole Romi, and Amru Kama knows Psiosea Shel Rivazu, Miyadika Psiosea. Because once she went and she used to walk very fine with a lot of tzniut, and someone commented on it once in Rome, right? These officers in Rome, and therefore she started walking even more,
right?
Whatever. So, or not promiscuously, in a way that drew attention, right? Again, whether it's promiscuous or it was anti-promiscuous, it was like dainty, right? You sort of get the feeling this is more like, you know, it's like Victorian,
yeah,
right? Like, it's over the top, right, modesty that draws attention to yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Right? Like, if you ever see, you know, ever see anything, the way they illustrate sort of the Victorian thing, right? That, you know, the damsel in distress thing, right? Like, very modest, I walk very slowly, right? I don't draw attention to myself, thereby drawing attention to myself, right? But you see that the Gemara clearly thinks that there's a problem. And again, what exactly the...
This is not like a halachic, or sounds like
So I was about to say, right? Now, again, what I'm going to try not to do is I'm going to try not to draw conclusions for you. Is this halachic? Is it agadic? Right? Because that's... You have to take that into account, right? I'm bringing texts that I think are relevant, right? But I think the Gemara clearly thinks it is problematic for a woman to do something which would draw attention to herself in that way,
uh-huh.
Right? And Yaakov Emden there says it must be something that was like... He's like, I don't know exactly what she was doing, but it's clearly something which was Megara Yitzhara. I don't know exactly what it was, right? But clearly that's what's going on, right? So the Gemara thinks it's problematic. Now, is it because it's Lifnei Iver? Is it something else? I don't, you know...
Right.
Not going to bias you, right? But my point is simply that makes that basic logical jump, right? There is an issue of here or her, and there's also seemingly some sort of problem for a woman, in this case, to put herself in a situation where she creates here or her, right? Okay, fine. All right, I think that's... Now, as a pushback, and again, I'm not going to tell you that I'm miyashe of this, there's a Gemara in Tainis. Now, this is an interesting Gemara, that Abba Chilkiah, the grandson of Choni Ma'agel, he was a miracle worker. So once they sent... So they once sent some rabbis to him. There was no water, and they said, go to Abba Chilkiah and ask him to daven for rain. So the Gemara goes through all these weird things that he did. Right when they met him, he didn't greet them, and you know that story. He takes off his shoes when there are thorns, and he puts on his shoes when there are the orange.
Yeah,
orange, right? I touched on this, right? Part of that sugya was he davened, right? He davened for people to die, and his wife didn't, right?
Yeah,
but one of those lines in the Gemara is that when he was coming home, his wife went out in her full, right, in beautiful clothing to greet him. So the Gemara says, "My taima, why'd she do that?" Right? Kimata bar lamasa nafkilabitsu demarki makashto. Why?
Right.
Why does she come outside so dressed up? Right now, it's not in the house. Right? It's not because clearly the continuation in the Gemara is that when they went into the house, she went first.
Right.
So it's clear that they're outside where people can see them.
Right.
So Amar lahu kadesh lo etan einai beisha acheres. So I won't look at other women. Right. If my wife comes out as provocative as that, right, then I won't look at other women. Now, right, Clapper once pointed out that you have to contend with this Gemara because, right, the Gemara clearly thinks that, right, there were other men there and she was dressed in an attractive way, attractive enough that it would at least attract her own husband and ensure that he didn't look at other men, right, women.
Women,
right. Other
or men,
other men, either of them straight. That'd be even more right, even more problematic. But other men could see her. Right? That's what I want to say.
Right.
Right, other men could see her, right?
Yeah.
Which is an interesting problem because clearly she's going out in such a way that other men might look at her.
Yeah.
Right, might be attracted to look at her, but the Gemara assumes that this is okay because she's going out in this way primarily to protect Abba Chilkiah.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to at least contend with this Gemara because, you know, you could have said, well, you shouldn't be going out in such a way that clearly draws attention to yourself, right? Now, there are different ways you could deal with this Gemara, right? You could say, no, Like, she wasn't dressed in a provocative way. She was just dressed in a beautiful way that when her husband saw her, right, it drew his attention.
Right.
Right? I find that a bit of a hard read. That doesn't sound like that, but you could have come up with that, right?
Right.
Alternatively, you could say, look, it wasn't that public, right? It's not clear exactly where she was, right? Like, you know, it was like, it wasn't in her house, but it wasn't like she went out on the street like this. She went out like, I don't know, right? Into the Mulberry, I don't know. What? Yeah, front yard or something, whatever. Now, that could be, but it's also a bit weird. Why?
Someone else saw this.
No, yeah, well, more than that. Avachilkia said she went out to make sure that he didn't look at other women, which means that she's doing this where there are other people that he might be looking at.
Yeah.
Right, so there are clearly people around. How public it is, I don't know.
But they're
right? Right, and clearly the other rabbis noticed, right? Now,
can't you say she dressed nicely but not provocatively?
Oh, for sure, but
it's
the point is...
It caused him to not think about other girls.
Correct. Now, I'm not saying she dressed provocatively, but what am I saying, right, is that clearly she dressed in a nice enough way that it was sufficient to redirect her husband's attention to her,
yeah.
Right? Now, I doubt she dressed... I don't think she dressed provocatively. I don't think that was going on. I don't think she dressed in a, you know, in a priestess way... Right, but the point is that clearly, what?
I mean, the first Gemara says you're not allowed to look at a woman's clothing even while she's not wearing it if you recognize her. A woman's allowed to wear her clothing.
Oh, good. It's like, right, so, right. But then there's a few things that come out of this Gemara, right? And right, Clapper, right, points to is that, well, clearly, right, there has to be a limit at which you are allowed to care about yourself and your own relationship, and if other people are going to, right, sin, that's not your problem, and that's what Mati correctly gets from the Gemara is, yeah. A man can't stare at the colored clothing of a woman even when it's not on her. There is no parallel to that, which is, and therefore women can't wear colorful clothing and can't even put it where a man might see it on the wall. They have to hide it in the back closet, right?
A man can't look at a beautiful woman either.
Correct. The point is...
Listen, you can't be beautiful.
Now, again, why do I bring this Gemara? Right, I bring this Gemara because it's forcing you to think about the fact that, right, and this is always the hard part in halacha, right, is that clearly, right, if I put, again, without saying halacha, not halacha, if I put the Gemara of the daughter of Chanim and Charajan on one extreme and Abba Chilkia at the other extreme, right, what it tells you is, right, there are certain things that are done to draw attention of people that shouldn't have their attention drawn to them, right? And that is usher, right? And then there are other things which potentially could draw attention, right? But they're fine because they're part of living a normal life,
right?
And, right, just to use that as poles, clearly what's usher and what's mutter, right, falls somewhere between those poles, right? Where you draw the line is not clear. I'm just giving you the poles, right? I think those Gemaras indicate that there are poles. Right? That there are clearly things, there must be a limit, right? And again, Mati is correct, and this is a point that several people make, and this has become sort of a trope, right? That people make this against the extensive, you know, SNEA literature that comes out, you know, every second, which includes detailed, you know, is that, right? Yes, SNEAUT is also about getting dressed and how you dress and not being provocative, but no, it's not meant primarily to lock women away so that men can't see them, right? Men are fundamentally responsible for themselves, right? Women just can't go overboard in terms of being provocative. But there is clearly a middle ground where things that could be attractive because they're just normal clothing, right? You're allowed to dress nicely, right? They're clearly, right? But the attempt to make tzniut as totally about what women wear is clearly a mistake when you look at the sugya, right? It's clearly somewhere in between, right? There is things that are potentially attractive,
right?
But are still, right? And therefore, men shouldn't be looking at them, but women are still allowed to wear them.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and to erase one of these, right, and make it all about women is clearly a problem, right? Yeah. I remember once in a particularly angry moment, Rav Gigi said, yelled at all this literature, and he's like, he's very gentle, but he's also sometimes just very decisive and very, like, very Svarti posek. Yeah, he's one of the Rosh Hashiva at Gush, right? He's the Svarti Rosh Hashiva at Gush. And he the way he described modern Sneat literature was fornografia hilchatit, right? Which is right halachic pornography, right? Because you have these rabbis writing 55 million pages of this is exactly how long the person's dress should be, right? Like it's insane, right? Like you read something, like it's a yeshkvul. Okay, fine. Fine. Now, the rabbi's stav. So this is going to be one part of sort of the conceptual background to the potential problems, but also potential limitations on public the problem with public displays of affection. Okay. Another prong, and this I only saw in the Stav Tshuva, whatever, however you prefer, I can't, in Avo Beitecha, that's the name of the book, okay? Right? But I think they're right, and this is part of it as well, is that this is from the vantage point of what do I owe to other people? But part of what might limit public displays of affection is, you should feel, and again, I'm using should in the, I'm not saying halachic or not halachic, in the normative sense, right? Like, you should, right? Whether that's asur or whether that's, or chayav or ra'ui or lo ra'ui of the Rambam, right? I'm going to leave open.
Right.
You should feel uncomfortable expressing intimacy in public, right? You should, right? How intimate you should be, right, is a question, but you should, right? And not just public, right? If you want the extreme of this, right, that's the Gemara, which is in several places, but the Rambam, I just give you the summary in 6, which is, this should be obvious to everybody, even though it's not obvious to everybody. Right, you should not sleep with your wife in the marketplace, or in the street, right, or in the gardens, or the orchards, right? In a house.
Where
I said, the Gemara in several places, I just gave you the Rambam. Yeah, yes, this is a Gemara, correct. Right? But the Rambam adds the description, that's why I gave you the Rambam. Shlo yireh kiznut. Ve'regil atzmam lizneh znut. He's saying it's not like it's like you're allowed to be with your wife, but like when you're free about where you're with your wife, it seems like znut. It's just wrong. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's going to quickly go to actual znut. Right? Meaning if you're so free about sleeping with your wife, in public, right? So you may right now be totally monogamous.
Right?
But like, sleeping with your wife in public, God knows what that leads to, right? It creates a, right? Now this is the extreme, obviously.
So this is your, Mepharish in the Gemara, right?
What?
This is your being Mepharish in the Gemara?
No, Shiyir Le'ekinot V'yagilu Atzmamli Desnot. It won't look like Zinot, it won't lead you to Znot.
No.
No, that's why I gave you the Rambam. No, it's the Rambam's Parshanut of the Gemara. I gave you the Rambam because it's part. The Gemara says that if someone sleeps with his wife in public, we give him Makas Mardus, right? The Rambam says the reason is because, right, and this is obviously an extreme, right? A kiss on the cheek, right, is not sleeping with your wife in public. There's clearly a gray zone between those two, right? A lot of gray zone.
Also interesting, the Rambam doesn't say the reason would be that, people could walk in on you and...
All right, I think the assumption is that people are walking in. You're in a, right?
Or potentially.
That's
true. The problem's not people going to see you.
Yeah, so I don't know. Or maybe people aren't. I don't know what he means. I don't know what he's imagining. I don't know. Right?
Well, the Ginos, that could be a privately owned. It's just like a...
Oh, sure. The Rechov is a bit hard there. The Shuk and Rechov.
Sure,
right.
Difficult, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I guess he could mean at night, right? He could mean in a public place where people aren't there, right?
Heard stories.
What?
Heard stories in the Shuk.
Great. The other Gemara that they bring, which I think is also nice, and this I haven't seen anyone else quote in this context, but I think it's right, is the Gemara in 4, which is Amar Bruna Amar Rav called Yashin Bikilash Ishri Sto Shruyin Ba Alava Kadom Omer Jamie Tigar Shun Mibet Togena. Anybody. Who sleeps in the same room as a husband and a wife, right? Basically, he creates a gunot, right? Why? Even if
a gunot is where the husband gets lost in war.
Correct.
That is okay.
Correct. Why? Right. Mm-hmm. This is even if the wife's a nida. Why? So Rav Amar Mishter Nida he tabalav bracha, right? Rav said why? If you're the third party in a room where the wife is a nida, you should be blessed because you can ensure they won't sleep together.
Right,
and the Gemara says. What?
Your guard.
Correct. Velohi. The Gemara says, no, that is no man natre. And he says, and the Gemara says, not true, because who guarded them every other time?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Now, why? So now, what's the problem? So Rashi says,
I didn't get any of that.
Oh, try that again, okay? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to sleep in the same room as a husband and wife.
Because it'll create an aguna?
So, because it'll be like an aguna. Why?
You're stop them having,
so, because you're going to stop them from being together, right? So you've basically trapped away from husband. Then the Gemara says, even if she's a nida. And the Gemara says, but why? If she didn't need to, you want to stop them from being together. And then the Gemara says, no, because they didn't need anyone to guard them before. Right? Now, what's the implication? Right? So why is it a problem?
Yeah, maybe they'll cast chashad on their previous...
No, one cast chashad. I don't think even hear her. Right? If you read in context... No, it prevents them from talking intimately. Right? Meaning, the problem here... Wait, what's the problem? Remember, the problem was that, look at Rashi, Shaboshin him imenu. Right? Why is she in Aguna and what's it? In Nashe Ime Tegashud. It's like they're divorced. Why? Because...
Why isn't there an issue of... There's no issue, like, intrinsically.
No, because they're not going to be together.
If they're allowed.
No, they're not allowed to.
They're not by Nida. By Rashi's Nashem or Tegreshenu, Shabashinhin, Mimenu. That's the first case.
Correct. Right. So what's the assumption?
So what's the assumption?
Right? The assumption is they're not going to necessarily sleep together, right? Because the same thing holds for Nida and not Nida. Is that whatever is legitimate forms of intimacy between a husband and wife, right? What's the point of this Gemara, right? For this purpose, he said, what's clear in this Gemara is that a normal right couple, they should be, right? Or there's an assumption that they are, right? Right?
Embarrassed to even presumably
talk intimately, mm-hmm. right? When there's someone else around.
Yeah, I'm not
right?
I'm not clear how you came to the conclusion that the second half dotted in a monotri refers to, like, talk.
No, so no one stopped them from having...
No, I mean, because we're saying that this is the case when they're... Yeah. Even with Nida, you shouldn't be there.
I know, but...
So again, you could read, and now you're being closer to them. It could also be, no, like, being together in a room, right? You're still preventing husband and wife from, like, you know, they're allowed to be alone together.
That's not...
The, right?
I mean, that's not the most Shmaya said, Dada and
Amma. Okay!
No, I think that's why was this?
So I thought that there's some... You're implying that they need a guard now, so it's like, well, who was guarding them before?
So you could read it that way, or you could just say, no, that the assumption is that it's bad to interrupt, right, to be a third party or by husband and wife, right? And you might have thought that's overridden by the Chashash of Nida, Kamashwal, and it's not because they don't need a guard. But you can read it either way.
Yeah, but even
right?
in the first half, you see that
okay,
the Rama Corner Rashi.
Okay, I will try to keep my word and not bias you, but I think you could read it either way, right? Meaning, but I think the Gemara is relevant. I mean, I think the fact that the Gemara clearly thinks that third parties shouldn't be around because the average person is embarrassed of something, right? Of expressing intimacy at various levels, right? That clearly is part of the Cheshba. Okay?
So Rashi's saying there's no intrinsic problem of having relations with another man in the room.
So you actually can't, so I don't know exactly.
Where do we get relations from? I thought we were just sleeping in the same room as them. Are they sleeping together? They're just there.
Well, right, you aren't allowed to be together when anybody else is present.
They're going to be embarrassed with him being there having relations.
That's actually us. You're not allowed to be. Presumably it's lesser forms.
Maybe.
Presumably it's lesser forms of... Of intimacy, I assume.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, just because there's a formal isser of being together with b'fnei chalada.
Oh, there is.
There is a formal isser. I should have given you that also. But there is such a formal isser, yes.
Right. I did not know that.
All right. Formal isser.
I kind of assumed. I always assumed it, but then when I saw this Gemara, I thought maybe not.
No. There is a formal isser. I thought that was a given, but I probably should have
thought that.
There is a formal isser of having tashmish in front of people.
Okay.
Or when they actually can see you. Okay,
fine. Good to be. It's kind of embarrassing when...
No, I'm just kidding.
Wait, aren't there all those Gemaras of the...
Yeah, I mean, it's Boshin because whatever, right?
Yeah, aren't there all those Gemaras of, like, keep... No, yeah, isn't there...
Especially when you're...
Do you have to be an aid, too? Doesn't the Rambam say you have to be an aid to the actual...
Well, no.
No!
You're, presumably, whatever reason you couldn't go in when they're not in need of would not apply when she's in need of.
Wait, that's not the case?
No, not to the Bia.
About just that.
I don't know.
You stand up to the Yichud of the Bia.
I don't know, but I thought there was...
Even though there was other people who
have... No,
even in, like, if you go to the Israel Museum, you'll see they have all exhibit on marriage there, right? And they have, like... An exhibit from, I think it's Tunisia or something. And you'll see they have the chuppah tent, right? Where they would, like, you know, give them a little tent and take out the sheet and the whole thing. But they didn't go in. The witnesses stood outside and waited for them to bring out the sheet, right? It's weird enough, right? That's like, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, it's heavily awkward.
Now, look.
Wait, what?
It's like going to the bathroom. Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, they're just like put them into a tent together.
Who's they? Where? Who?
I just said, like, if you go to the Israel Museum, you'll see that, like, from Tunisia or something, they have, like, that's what they did in certain countries. They did, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable enough, you know, like, must be uncomfortable.
Is that at the wedding, you mean?
Yes, yes, it is.
Oh. And they held you actually at the...
Yeah, and they bring out the sheet and the... Okay.
You throw
them. Sure. Right. That's my... Yeah. It's like, I remember I first saw that when I was, like, the first time at the Israel Museum years ago. I'm like, I'm so glad I am, like, you know...
What, the little Nida corner thing?
No, not Nida Corner. This is a no. This is so a Bia Corner. There's a Bia tent for the wedding.
Yeah, you know, I saw this Nida Corner where they.
Yeah, that's something else.
That was Nida Corner. That was bizarre.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
What?
They make them dress up in this thing.
A lot
that's
of voodoo
in the corner.
Talismans also.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And
they,
oh man.
Okay. I mean,
they're filled with voodoos.
Now the primary. Okay, the primary sugya that people point to is also sort of a weird sugya, and here is where we're gonna. You know, this is a shir we never actually did, which is, can you derive, directly, I've brought it up several times, is can you derive halacha from agadata, right? So keep in mind that, in principle, you really shouldn't, but often poskim do anyways,
right?
Keep that in mind, because this entire sugya emerges from, the main sugya emerges from a very bizarre agadata, right? What?
Oh boy.
Very bizarre. So, the Gemara in Baba Basra has all the stories of Rabbi Bina'a. Vina did all types of wonderful, different, interesting things. But one of the things he did was that Hava Mitzayin Ma'arta. He used to, here, this is, the beginning of this is totally normal, is he would go around, and when he would find a grave, he would put a little marker.
Crazy.
So that people would know that it wasn't, right, Kohanim should know not to go there.
Yeah.
Fine.
Very good of him.
That's where the normal part of the story ends. Ki Matel Ma'arta de Avraham. When he made it to Avram's Ma'ara, meaning Ma'ara Machpelah, Ashkechel Eliezer Eved Avram Dekoy Kamei Bava. He ran into Eliezer standing at the door. Amarle, Mike Eved Avram, and he said, what's Avram up to in there? Amarle, Goni Bechanvi Desarv Kamei Leberashe. He's like, Sarah is like holding him in her chest and checking his hair for lice, right? Or something like that. Mekaine Leberashe. She's like going through his hair. Amarle, Zil Amale Bana Kaya Bava. Can you do me a favor and just tell them that Bana is by the door? Amarle Leo. He said, "Yeah, now just go in." Meida Yade Diya Itzer Bahai Al Maleka. The Itzer Har doesn't exist in the world to come, so it's fine. Just go in. Ayel Ian Vinafak. He went in, and went out.
He was dying, and then he went out.
took a look.
Yep. Went in, took a look, and left.
This is awkward. I'm out of here.
So this is literally, when you want to know the source in the Ramah, as we'll see in a moment, for the Isser of public space infection, this is, of all the Gemara's you could have chosen in life, man. This was it. Right?
Oh boy.
It doesn't seem like an Isser. It seems like
a Ramah guy, you know.
Yeah, right.
What? Okay. So. So Rabbeinu Gershom says, "De Yitzer b'Hay Arma Leka, Deino Tzorach LaHaniach b'Bnei Sarah Shlo Yikanei." So Rabbeinu Gershom says,
"Because of Sarah."
Yes, yeah. Right. He thinks that the problem is.
You don't think it's a combination of?
This is Rabbeinu Gershom, right?
Could Rabbeinu Gershom be saying it's a combination of
maybe Sarah's? Right. Yeah, I don't know exactly. But
b'Bnei Sarah, what does that mean?
It's like. Meaning, he doesn't have to not go in. Laniach, b'nei Sarah, right? Because of Sarah, there shall he kaneis. Meaning, right? He doesn't have to be worried that Sarah will be uncomfortable, right? That's what he seems to be saying.
Oh, I thought it was because Sarah was one of the four most beautiful girls,
or because Sarah's there. Well, I doubt it's because right. The assumption isn't that it's a problem because Sarah's there, right? It'll be awkward for Sarah.
No, because the whole Yetzer thing.
Yeah,
the whole reason he's allowed to go in is because of the Yetzer.
Yeah, but because she's the one who won't have Yetzer Hara, right? Not him. He's not dead. She is. Right?
Wait, what? Wait, there's a problem that she's gonna. He thought, like, she was gonna be using her for him.
Oh, alright!
You're dead.
You know what? Let's.
I don't know what's happening at all.
I don't know, I'm not actually sure, right?
I know what's going on here.
He doesn't. Right, or it could just be that Sarah won't be embarrassed because since CHR doesn't exist, sexuality isn't embarrassing. Right?
Okay.
Or something like that, right? Well, right, like, Sarah won't be embarrassed because if there's
no CHR, it's the answer. Or maybe his answer, like he won't be.
Or right,
oh,
or
maybe, because he's
right. Meaning, I can't tell you for sure what he means, right? Is it that he won't have right? I could see you reading Rabbeinu Gershom several ways, right? Either he doesn't have to worry about his Yetzirah because since he'll be entering Olam Haba temporarily, even though he's alive, and you know he won't have to be worried about Sarah, or Sarah won't be. I doubt that Sarah will desire him. I doubt that's what it is.
Yeah.
But maybe that Sarah won't be embarrassed, sort of like the Adam and Chava story, right? Yeah. That like it's a world where right intimacy and related issues and sexuality and nakedness are not embarrassing, and therefore she won't be embarrassed.
Weird,
right? Or something. I don't really know, but right. But
how old is she?
She's first of all, she's dead.
I know, but
right?
She's thousands of years old.
She's
dead?
Thousands of years old and
so,
dead.
Does she look like
right?
in her prime, or
it's Tarte La Reyes. Look, Mati, it's Tarte La Reyes. She's both really old and dead. Right? It's like right.
Arms coming out of her eyes.
You know, like I don't know.
It's pretty embarrassing. Zombie aesthetic.
Exactly.
I'd be embarrassed.
But the key line in Rishonim is that is quoted La Halacha is from the Nimukei Yosef, and literally this is what it comes down to. There's one line in Nimukei Yosef. Yetzer b'hayal moleka, shaminan mehagada zu. We learn from this agadata, derech eretz. Right now, what does that mean?
Practice the land.
Right, which means it's the right thing to do.
Good manners.
How formal you take this is not clear. Right, it's derech eretz.
Derech eretz means to be davken up.
Well, much more than the Mukhei Yosef is. But...
Are you serious?
What? No, Mukhei Yosef is
the riff.
Yeah, it's the commentary on the riff when there's no Ron.
I didn't. Yeah. I told him.
Well, now you're just being nice.
Yaakov, I just told you. You want a mincha now?
Okay, you have to go the second you want to wait for the sentence.
Yeah,
so he says, Derech Eretz, which means like, and presumably he thinks Derech Eretz because it's from a Haggadah, you know, an Haggadata, and like it's not in a halakha context. She'ena roi lehit nahig imishto, it's not proper to act with one's wife. Bichayote bedvarim halalu, with things like this, right? You can see how much ambiguity there is in the sentence. Bifnei achirim, in front of others.
It's not like this is vaday not usher.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Well, a lot of times, something that Rishon says not dechartz is pasken as usher and achirim.
That's true.
Good. Very good. Thank good.
And then, sounds like good manners. Means to say this.
Good.
I don't mean
the Rashbam, right, says something which might be similar, which is. It's not chutzpah to go in this circumstance, because there's no yetzer hara, right? So that, I assume, goes more on the, like, you know, there is no sexual, you know, taiva in the world to come, so it's not embarrassing to be caught in what would be an intimate moment.
What are the last four words literally mean?
Right?
The last word
that was what was from the Gemara, right? Remember, that he is...
That he is
being held by Sarah, and, right? So there's no chutzpah. Now, who's the chutzpah, right? Presumably the chutzpah is... Correct. So, right, this is... The flip is that Rishbam seems to more focus not on... Right? Not on the problem for the people engaged in the acts of, right, in the display of affection, but in a person who would intrude.
No, presumably that's... The Gemara is not saying that they couldn't do it in private. The Gemara is saying... The Kiddush was he could intrude.
Correct. Right. Okay. But if that's the case, obviously, that would prevent even learning in Derech Eretz, right? Because this would just say, if you find out that people happen to be, if you knock on the door and you realize that a husband and wife are having an intimate moment, right? Whatever. Like, not, I don't mean that they're, being together. I mean, they're like, I don't know.
Embracing each other.
So monkeys do whatever. That's what monkeys do as, like, affectionate.
They clean each other's hair.
They clean each other, yeah.
Yes.
Apparently humans do also.
Yeah. Okay.
And even the undead.
My
question is, were the lice dead or were they alive?
Correct. Now, what exactly is this? Now, this chutzpah, however, right? So the Rashbam says no chutzpah. Presumably, yeah, that's a Rebbe.
Well, presumably if it's chutzpah, they'll go in on them. Shouldn't do
that in public either. Right, so the question is, what is the chutzpah here, right? It could be the Einkan chutzpah, right? Well, see, this is the problem. Is the Einkan chutzpah, back to Rashbam, it could be there's no chutzpah for him to walk in, or there's no chutzpah that even if he was there, it wouldn't be chutzpah for them to continue to do this. Right? Now, what might lead you in that direction? This is from the Stavs again, which is that chutzpah, specifically, is sometimes in the Gemara referred to as expressing intimacy in ways you shouldn't, in two overt ways, right? So, for example, number 11, the Gemara says, "Birit nechatzufa, eini," right? The Gemara in Nedarim lists a bunch of types of acts of intimacy that would lead to problematic children because of... the problematic circumstances of the intimacy.
You mean like moms or anything like that?
No, not moms.
Retardation.
Different.
It's not a funny issue.
No, different things.
Like
different diseases or disabilities that would come to kids is like a punishment for having been engaged in not in usher in the like momser sense.
Right.
But one of them is chatzufa. What's chatzufa? So Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman Yonasan call Adam Sheishta Tova'ato, right? So it's a woman who demands sex verbally, right? She says, "I want to be together tonight," right? That is chatsufa. So the Gemara says, but isn't that a good thing? Because the Gemara in a different place says that if you do that, then you will have the best children that are even greater than those in Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara answers, no. It's chatsufa if a woman demands to be with her husband, like says, "I want to be together." If she makes it clear, seduces him, whatever, right? That's good, right? But what's the point of the Gemara, right? I mean, they just point out that chutzpah, the Rashbam could be playing on this, that chutzpah, a particular branch of chutzpah is, right, being too sort of forceful in sexual issues. The last Gemara that they bring to bear on this is.
He wants to claim that Sarah was a. The Hamina that Sarah is being chutzpah.
There would be chutzpah for her to continue, maybe. Right? That's what I'm saying. Right? You could read it as there would be chutzpah for her to continue. Again, it's not.
Chutzpah on his part to walk in on two people doing the weird life thing.
You could try to read it in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, the
I'm giving you different ways of reading it. Okay. I'm giving you different ways of reading it. I tend to think the chutzpah is walking in, but, you could read it otherwise. Okay.
The different maskos.
The last Gemara in this regard that they bring up is just the general Gemara of Nivol Peh, which is that...
Don't speak about sexual matters.
Yeah, that Amar Ruch Amar Rav. Everyone knows why... What's going to happen when a kala gets married? Even if it's been decreed for good, right? You are in trouble. Right? You are in trouble.
What do you mean decreed for good?
Like even if God said you're a grace tzaddik, you're going to be have a good life. You one time say nifal peh, and God says forget it, you're going to have a miserable life.
Right?
The point of that is that the institution of nifal peh indicates that. There are certain things that aren't problematic. They're just problematic to bring into the public space.
Right. Private.
It's private, right? That's what the institution of Nivol Peh points to. Okay? So based on this, essentially, this then brought Lehalacha.
What's the curiosity? Is there any point where is this the only choice for Nivol Peh? At some point where the Gemara explicitly says it's Asur?
That is the Gemara.
Okay. I just want to finish.
That's the Gemara. It sounds pretty bad to me.
Bad.
You're like, I want the word usher. I want the word usher.
I don't know. It doesn't say, you can't do it. It says if you do it, you get punished.
He's going to kill you.
I just buy a lot of things. I don't know.
I love Ellie. It's like, my entire life will be miserable as a punishment for this mutter act. what?
It could be a bad thing. It's not usher.
Oh, God.
There was some tea you, they say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Let's save it for the Shuba.
What?
Save it for the Shuba.
Okay. Another source. You guys all jumped at me.
Save it for the Shuba.
I said another source. You guys.
Okay.
I just asked a factual question.
What?
I think there are other sources
in the Gemara. I've never heard any other source in the Gemara from Nivol Peh.
Oh, wait, for Nivol Peh for the
Nivol Peh.
What?
For Nivol Peh.
This is basically the Gemara.
There's
the Rashi. No, the other source, which is not really, is the beginning of Psachim, which is that we go out of our way to speak in Lashon Naki and Zivor.
I thought there's something like Shabbos or something on somewhere around Daf Chaf. I remember.
Oh no, we quote this line is quoted elsewhere, but it's not like
maybe
this is like
the same line. Okay.
Okay. There's not like there's a whole sugya of Nivol Peh. Like it's one liners here and there. Okay.
There's a Gemara which lists all the words which you're not allowed to say.
Exactly. Right. In every language that will ever be invented. Right. Like. Okay.
Yeah, to quote you, if it's just a philosophical problem, there's more wiggle room when this is overrated by another possible problem. It's an actual derabon on this, or you can't have as much wiggle room.
You're right. You're right.
Quoting Rabbi Zeri.
Yeah. You're right.
Putting him against himself.
You're right. Okay.
I also only asked another source.
Good. So the Darkei Moshe. Who's the Darkei Moshe?
Moshe Isserles.
No.
The Rama.
Oh, the Rama.
The Rama.
Oh, big Rama guy.
I was thinking of the
I mean, he wasn't wrong. He said Ramosha, I guess.
Anyways.
What's the other Ramosha book? Not Igros Moshe.
Dibros Moshe.
Dibros Moshe.
But this is the Darkei Moshe. This is the Rama.
It's very easy confusion.
So he just quotes, right? I mean, I don't have to read it inside. He just quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra and
Aser.
The Nimukei Yosef. No, he just quotes, right? Quote. That's it.
Oh.
I put it here so you don't have to take my word for it. Gemara in Cheskas about him, Nimuke Yosef. Quote. Right. No. No addition in Darkei Moshe.
I'm guessing Rav Bina.
Who's the guy that went to Avinu's grave?
Yosef.
No, Rav Bina went to Avinu's grave.
That was the guy.
That was the dude.
Yes. Hi, it's Bina at the door. Avram and Sarah, let me in.
Does he bring down his halacha in the Roma?
Yeah, we're gonna get there. Okay. That's in 15. Don't worry, I'm not. I gave you. I literally just put it here. I didn't like. I debated about cutting out the relevant lines of the Drisha and the Taz. And then I was like, no, because in case you want to look at it, here's the whole thing, mm-hmm. right? I'm not hiding anything from you. It's all here, right? This is all there is to, right? Into it. So if you look at 15, look at 15, okay? You want to see it? Look. This is how the Rama frames it, okay?
Start with
Shulchan Aruch, and then the Rama will frame this halacha. Asur lishtamish b'isha klal, ben gedola, ben kanana, ben shivcha, ben mishachar, shema yavol lidehi ravera. You're not allowed to use a woman, right? For waitressing services and stuff like that, and the like.
Does it mean you can't use a woman to be a waitress? You can't.
Well, we'll see what it means. But Eizu Shimush Amr, what exactly do we mean?
No,
not just waitress. It's very specific type, which is Rechitas Panav Yadav Raglav, having her bathe your hands and feet and whatever. Afil Eizu Go Mein Lerchos Panav Yadav Raglav, feeling in a gazbo, Vatzas Hamita Befanav, right? And making your bed while he's there.
Really?
Right?
That's like a hotel name.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Umezika zakos, and pouring your sense. cup of pouring your drink.
The whole genre,
yeah. 100%. Now, the Rama says, some people say you shouldn't eat from the same plate. And some people say that no, these are all mutter. The Rama says, guys, the Rama says all these are mutter. That these Yisurim were only for Ishtar Nida, right? Meaning you can have. Right, meaning your wife, this is clear, when she's in Nida, shouldn't set your bed, right, while you're there.
Mix your wine.
Right, and shouldn't mix your wine. But an outsider, it doesn't have the same intimacy because there wasn't the background of assumed intimacy.
This is from a Gemara I know about, I assume.
What?
I presume these are from Gemaras that we haven't seen.
Well, I just gave you the whole Ramah. I mean, these are many different sugyot, but
I
want you just to see the context in which the Ramah brings it, right? These are obviously all different sugyot, yes,
okay.
Right? V'yeshom kol zeinu azar rak b'makom ichud. Some say that it's only if it's an ichud, right? Avo makom shorob b'nadam etzuim kogom b'merchatz mutol echos b'nevatz chavim shvachos v'cheinagim. And some people say this is only in private, but if you're in a public bathhouse, you can have a sort of woman washing your feet. Whatever. a woman washing your feet.
Sort of.
And some say, as long as you do it l'shem shamayim, it's mutter.
It's important.
And that's why the minhag is to be making on all these things. And in this context, right, where the Ramah has said that, you know, there are all these things that might be formally usher on the books, but they're subjective, and therefore nowadays they're okay. Right? In that context, right, of describing sort of the general rule, which is things that are intimate shouldn't be done, right? But if they're not intimate based on context, then they're fine. Says the Yesh Omrim, De'ein Lino Gafilim Ishtu B'dvarim Shal Chiba, that you shouldn't, some say you shouldn't, again, it's a Yesh Omrim, I want you just to pay attention, I'm not going to tell you what conclusions draw from this, but it's a Yesh Omrim, right? The Ain Linhog, what is Ain Linhog?
Shouldn't do it.
Not
you
good.
Shouldn't do it. Is that us or is it not us?
Not good.
Don't do it. B'dvarim Shal Chiba, Kigon Lion Bereshe, Im Yesh Lo Kinim B'fnei Acherim. Like having your wife check for lice.
It's incredibly unromantic. That's what I'm saying.
It's one of the grossest, sexualized.
Just wait till one day, you know, like that's the.
better not.
if you go to Israel, you know, it's
chiba,
almost.
Chiba literally means like attractive. What does the actual word mean?
Chiba is love, or romance, or affection. Right? That's the problem, is that can it capture sort of a range of emotions there?
Maybe right, affection.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. No, but that see what's going to important. What would be important is that's exactly the problem. Is
it's
more
a linguist question than
okay.
I really don't know what the word means.
Oh, okay, fine. So now if you go back to 14, the Drisha, right? There's a parish on the tour, right? Right. The Loshon Rama. He quotes the Rama, and he says, "De ein lino gafil neshtu b'dvarim shel chiva gon lain v'reisha achakim v'nei achirim ad kan lishona." Okay, quotes the Rama, and then he does something which is really weird. Venira lefia nias da'at.
Sorry, back to him. He doesn't mention anything about public versus private, just don't.
Yeah.
Says.
At the end. Last two words.
So he says, so Drisha says, the Ramah says, what he says.
Well, I hate to stop again. But the Shulchan Aruch, isn't the sugi about not doing these things in front of the Shulchan Aruch with other people because of Shema Yavali Hirhu Avera? Should I have sugi to this?
Yeah, potentially.
We just didn't see those Gemaras.
What?
We didn't see those Gemaras.
No, no, those are the sugyas at the end of Kedusha.
Okay.
There are many other Hero Gemaras. I didn't give you every Hero Gemara.
Right, right.
No.
Want more Hero Gemaras, like I said, this
those
is like Russian Pukim. What?
Right, you can't.
Correct.
Do those
meaning those are those sugyas are. I didn't give you every sugya about Hero because right. The sugya is the very specific one, which is
doing things in front of other people.
Correct. Right. But I gave you like enough to realize there is an Issur of Hero. Right. But obviously, yeah, there's all the sugya.
Right. You can't do things that we're going to bring yourself to Hero. But the question is, can you do things that?
Well, I'm also
correct.
Confused,
right. That's a particular issue.
For your specific case, if your wife is Anita, it might make a difference. She is or isn't Anita for the case that you gave us.
Assume she's not Anita.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
she's not Anita. That was the assumption. No, the assumption of the question is that she's not Anita, yes. Okay?
Right, she's Anita. Yeah, that's fair, right?
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, that might be Chiba.
Okay. All right. So the Dark Emotion quotes the Rambam, and then he says, and this is weird to me, but okay, the second line, the Nir Lefiani is Daiti Shaloma came Mashkoz of Aran, he means the Nimuke Yosef, as you'll see, because he'll quote it, but it's just the person who's in the place where the rod normally is. Right? That guy. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
He right now?
14.
Yeah. Second line.
Yeah. Right? Second line. He says, I think he learned this from the, let's say, Nimuke Yosef, right? That person, right? Ahad de Garcin Rabbi Binah, etc., from the Rabbi Binah story. And then he quotes the Nimuke Yosef. And that's how I know four lines in that he means Nimuke Yosef, because he quotes, Kosovo Zeharan, Nimuke Yosef. Right? Whatever. And he quotes, right? And he quotes the whole thing. Now, so look at the end of that, four lines from the bottom, right? This is all a quote. I just, you'll believe me, it's a quote.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is very weird, because clearly, what did he not have in front of him?
The Nimuke Yosef?
No, he had the Nimuke Yosef. I mean, he just didn't realize the Nimuke Yosef was Nimuke Yosef, but what didn't he have in front of him? The Dark Emotion.
Oh,
he said, I think the Rama is based on the Nimuke Yosef, right?
Right.
But,
quotes the Nimuke Yosef.
Right? But which just leads me to wonder, and I don't have any answer to this question, what was the other possibility, right? Like, the Rama came up with this very specific formulation of checking for lice, and it wasn't based on that Nimuke Yosef. Like, right. I don't know what else he thought, but maybe he thought there was another potential source, I don't know. But anyways, V'nir levin is da'iti didaka l'shko b'cheka kahu maisa hu da'asar. It means not just checking for lice, it means checking for lice while she's holding her husband in her chest, like the way Sarah was holding Avram, right? A lion bereshik shu yoshev efshar delekem on the pollock. But maybe everyone would say that if you know he's just sitting at a chair and she's sitting there behind, you know, the way Mati is like ew, lice.
You see this more often where like I don't know about lice,
normal
but like
lice checking,
not lice, but like
someone's in a chair and
no, it's like a husband or wife or like a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Mati is routinely there when husbands take lice out of their wife's chair. Right,
it's an awkward scene. You know, you don't want to be there.
Yeah, for
no,
so
you
many
like,
reasons.
You like, you know, I don't know, they like laying the other person, even just like
yeah,
you know, ruffling his hair or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, that's much more sexual than picking for lice.
Right, that's more sexual than you know. Oh,
which
oh,
one means lice, by the way?
Yeah, and I know this because
and that's more sexual than yes, than someone sitting behind. Oh. Oh, the kid's got a piece of pasta and sauce in your hair. Wait, I gotta get the pasta and sauce out.
In my school,
right?
In 7th and 8th grade, we used to have the like a lice check twice a year.
Yeah.
And they didn't hold you in their chest, I hope to God. Yeah.
No, but we had women come in with pencils.
Yeah, we did also.
Yeah, but no, but it's more surprising to my yeshiva.
No, I understand, but would they hold you?
They stand behind you with the pencil.
Right, wasn't sexualized.
Okay, good. So then he says.
Yeah. It's kind of boring.
So he says. Now, right? So he says it's not the act of looking for lice that is so romantic. No, really.
I seem to have not missed much.
No, you did, but that's okay.
Right.
No, not so much. Whatever. Anyways, V'ayim b'tshuvas Rashba. Look at the Rashba. Simon Elef Kuf Peches. Right? Dimash. Yeah, he has like 5,000.
Wow.
Rashba has a lot of tshuvot. So this is just, yes, this is 1,188 out of like 5,000 in like 7 volumes. Yeah, it's a lot of tshuvot. Dimash mina, digam la'ayin bereshe l'chud evim idvar mabayim lidechiba. Shemedama zolitzika al yadayim vatzazamit. He said from the Rashba, it sounds like even just checking for lice without being held is romantic.
Why?
That's
how he applies it?
So that's what he says in the Rashba. Yeah, that's how he reads the Rashba. Yes, it's those things which bring to intimacy. It's like
Shemadama.
Because he compares it to pouring water on the hand and setting the bed. So it's like, oh, I feel so close to you because we just spent an hour with you taking lice out of my hair, right? This is the, right, this is what I, in our vows, right, at the wedding, right, whatever, in a Christian sense, right? Through,
I think it's like a, just a very, like a big help, especially back then.
I don't know if it's just a help, it's that.
I think
that
the monkeys also used to have. Has that point
so no, I don't know if he means. I don't know if he means that. He might just mean.
Some of this is
no, I think
societal.
Definitely that,
yes. I assume it's more like, you know, oh, like, you know, we are married long enough that like you're not disgusted to sit there and like help me get lice in my hair.
He compares it to Yitzhak Yadayim Matzah.
Correct.
I'm saying for nowadays, no one like the husband comes. No, there, wife, like takes the lint off his coat. It's like cute little thing.
Yeah, yeah,
it might be
yeah.
like that back.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like it is sort of right. There is something like romantic to it. It's like it's not like
intimate.
Yeah. I mean,
so
it is.
Help. You're helping the guy out with like a little thing.
Correct, and like awesome. Something that not everyone would do because like right, it's maybe not so comfortable. Whatever it is, yeah. Okay.
I would like my, you know,
fine.
Wife.
Hold your chest and take out the lights.
Now, the okay. So you see. So first of all, right, that even within this, even if you accept this isser or non isser, there's the machlokas about what exactly is included in it. Right? Is it even lice checking or only lice checking in a very specific type of lice checking? Great. Okay. You skip down to the Lavush. Lavush says, "V'yesh Omrim She'en Lenog Afilim Ishtu B'Dorim Shel Chiyuv Bnei Acherim Mishum Dinira Pritzusa." Right? He thinks because it looks like Pritzus. Right? It's fine because it looks like Pritzus. Right? Now this is an interesting formulation because this brings us back towards
wait,
right. The Lavush says the issue isn't that it's going to cause Hirhurim. It's that. It looks like Pritzos.
It's like a Marasayan type problem?
No, I don't think it's a Marasayan problem. I think it's not Marasayan. It's that it like
it looks like you're breaking a line that shouldn't be crossed.
Correct. So right. I mean, like, you're not actually
not acceptable.
Right. Right. It's not about here that it looks wrong. Right. It's about propriety rather than causing other people to have right thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now again, like right. Just to throw this out, by the way, keep this in mind when you. When you right try to formulate an opinion on the question, right, right, you know, hugging someone at a funeral, right, you know, you might want to balance, right, both of those, right. Does it look like it's breaking a societal norm, right? Maybe yes, maybe no. Does it look like it is going to, you know, cause other people to think about intimate thoughts? Maybe yes, maybe no. Right, but those are different. Or they're different questions. Now the Taz and
in the Tshuva, what community is this person from? That
yeah, it's a Modern Orthodox community.
What?
It's a Modern Orthodox community or Haredi community.
You are free. I'm going to leave that vague.
Live in Bnei Brak.
You are free to make that distinction. I will leave that vague.
Yeah, listen, Bnei Brak sounds awesome.
Oh, I mean the guy who asked the Tshuva.
Presume you don't know. Let's say you don't know.
Sorry.
Yeah, you don't know. I want
a bush, right? Like, I'm free to make the decision. What do you mean?
Okay, here I will tweak the question. You don't know what community he's from now, and there's not going to be enough time for you to go back and forth on this question, so you have to give...
Three weeks by train to get the mail.
Right? Yes, exactly. Right? And the funeral will be... I don't know. Whatever. Come up with a case, but you have to... Beza Shalav.
There's one who's crying right now around the phone. Right in the left.
She's coming in for the hug. She's coming in for the hug.
Okay, so we'll finish by then. But what time is it?
I can pivot still. I can pivot.
Okay, so let's just move into the Beit Midrash, and we'll I'll just give you a few more stories of it, and then we'll end for the night.
No, we should
have What? Okay, leave it. He said leave it. Okay, fine. Okay. Now, guys, I know you guys want to finish anyway, so let's finish up quickly here. And then, Okay. So... okay.
If you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
What?
You're giving us
okay. A- guys, go, let's, Okay. Now, the Beis Shmuel, I don't know why I did this. This is just a mistake. The Beis Shmuel I gave you before I gave you the Taz, but the Beis Shmuel just paskens like the Taz. So let's read the Taz,
uh-huh.
which I did give you. I gave you both, so whatever. It doesn't really matter which order it's in. But the Taz in 18, right, again, he quotes the Nimuke Yosef, and he quotes the Drisha, and he quotes the Rashba.
Sorry?
Right? And
the
So, and he says,
I
One, two, three, four, go down five lines. And he says, Mashma de ikur mishum de ganya bechekahu. He says, I think the main reason here should be that she was holding him in her chest, not the lice-checking thing. Kasha, dimken lamazur kalahazkir de maine beresha. Well, so then he says, but wait a second. If that's the case, then just say that Sarah was, right? Like they were hugging, right? Why say, and she was checking. By the way, I do not understand the entire assumption that there are lice in Olam Haba. This is like, I just want to point out that the entire assumption of this Gemara baffles me.
There's no Yetzer Hara.
There's no Yetzer Hara, but there are lice. That's exactly it, right? Strange. Right? Like the whole thing is so weird. That, like, yes.
Wait,
there's
who
no
says lice?
What?
My brush is
the
several of the Rishonim, yeah.
Ramos
says, yeah.
But that wasn't explicit.
Right, the Gemara doesn't explain explicitly. You could come up with something else. But the way the Ramah, yes, at look, at least the Ramah believes that there are lice in heaven. I don't know what that means, okay? I just don't get it. And people still get lice, like infestations in heaven. Right? What?
It's only to help them with their spouses, though. It's only,
okay, I don't know.
Yeah, it's great. It's bad. Why
you get more pleasure picking than you ever had.
The Taz then says, "Venirali." The Taz says, "Listen, venirali. The trait ta'amim hayu sham shelo ratzli kanesh sham. There were two reasons he didn't want to go in. Chad mishum d'avram gufe de ein lo ladam lasos mile dechiba mishum v'nei acher mishum tsnius. Kahi ma'ase she'tiach be'ishto tarazadena. Now the Taz makes this right. I'm sorry. I should have known. No, the Stavs get this from the Taz. Right. The first is that you shouldn't." Be engaged in intimate acts because of the isser of sleeping with your wife in public. On that spectrum is also don't do intimate acts, which are much, obviously, much more makil, right, than actually sleeping together. But that too. The gam kan who may ain tashmish, right? Now this is a bit weird. And this is also Me'ain Tashmesh. Now, I just want you to keep in mind that language, because what's he saying? He's saying, from the fact you can't sleep together in public, you also can't be engaged in other acts of affection.
Right.
But the bar he seems to set is things that are Me'ain Tashmesh. And, right, where you draw that line, right, is an interesting question. I'm not sure. Really? Right, but just remember that that's
where
the...
where he drew the line.
What?
We know where he drew the line.
Picking lice in that.
Picking lice.
There you go.
Well, sitting in the chest picking lice.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Shainit. The second thing is Shaloyar Tavar Achirim Ayadezeh Sheyavoli Dehiror. He said the second problem, right? Problem one is that you don't want, it's wrong for you to be engaged in intimate acts when other people are around. Problem two is it'll cause Hiror.
Right.
She is Kurtashmash Ayadezeh. Al Kain Omar, the means that Avram Atzmo, Hayashloka Hogan Chasm Shaho, Bechek Tavas. And therefore, he reads the Gemara as follows. Maybe it was wrong for Avram to be embracing his wife in this way.
He's alone.
Well, Eliezer was like standing at the door. I don't know.
He's gone.
I don't know. Whatever. And the second is that it would be a problem if other people walked in. And therefore, he said, now, Zeh Heshev Avram Dafil Eshkiva Bechekau Ein Isser, Ki Bahai Alma Ein Tzarech Letznius Diyaduash Ein Kan Tashmish, Mela Ein Kan Isser. He said, no. In Olam Haba, there is no Tashmish. There are lice, but there's no Tashmish. And therefore, no one has bad machshavot because they know that Tashmish just isn't a possibility. Just lice. It boggles my mind. Fine.
Was the serving thing?
No. Sex.
Ah.
Okay. I'll be blunt once so that we don't at the end think, oh, there is no waitressing and roll to come. No, there's no sex. Right. That's the issue here. Okay.
What was Avram doing in his wife's? There's no Yetzer Hara. Everything Yetzer and Tashmish.
Yeah. She was looking at his head.
Yeah.
He was cuddled.
But the point clearly wasn't. I mean, if it seems to be a mice of chiba, it seems to be a little more intimate than just picking out lice. There's some idea of
intimate way of taking out lice. I don't know.
It's the way you do it. You got to get close.
You could do it. Chair.
Anyways, there are no chairs. There are lice, but no chairs.
Right. Right. Only God is down. Only God is down. Haba God and
fine. So he says, "Ain't God is a feeling day because again lachirim kemuchach mizad a feeling in barosh lechod ain't another lachirim." So he said, "From here it would sound like even just looking for lice is not right in front of others." But then three lines to the bottom, he says, "Vinir diyesh chiluk bazet diyin lechod ain't over lachirim dafka beishto the kolaroz and nizkar lachirim shalama yidei tashmish vavela dihiror ayidei zet mashen kem bevito vachot avenechto the ain't kam zichron tashmish motor of lachirim." He just says, "Remember, this is only your wife." Because it's right. Because it's the person with whom you are intimate, and therefore, it might lead someone else to look and say, right, think about the fact that they are husband and wife and might be intimate.
Reverend Bird got a back rub from his daughter in front of us. That was okay because it wasn't his wife.
That's true.
And that's what he says, yes. Fine. And therefore, he says that he thinks that checking for lice itself is usser. Okay? So that's the Taz's conclusion. Now, but what is important in his analysis is that he, right, already brings in these two elements, right? The reason not to do this in public is both because it causes yehurim and it's just wrong for you to be doing this.
Right.
Okay? The Aruch HaShulchan says, V'yesh omrim dafil mishto in roi l'nag b'drom shal chiba yisera b'vnei brios, ha-brios, k'di g'mol l'ayin b'reishay, b'rosho, chayot b'zeh, v'ein l'cha yofim in atzniyot. Right now he sort of gives you the hashkafic, you know, bottom line. There's nothing better than tzniyot, klalo shal davar, okay, right. Anyone who follows his life in the right way will never fail, and anyone who doesn't make sure that he's avoiding Yetzer Hara, we will be conquered by the Yetzer Hara. Okay. Now, so this is sort of the basic sources. Okay. Now, I'm going to stop, guys. I'm going to stop reading these sources, but I'm going to give you now an overview of what is after this. Okay. What you get after this is I gave you a bunch of tshuvot from across the spectrum. Derech Bekudecha is the Dinever, I think. Chassidish Rebbe or something. I don't know. All
right.
Who says that that mixed dancing, right, is usher midaraisa because of the sugya of la'ayin bereshe.
Wait, what? Mm-hmm.
Okay,
this
now,
explain why.
Says that?
Look. Now there are like many, but now you have to realize, right? What's he doing? He's saying that what the Nemuka Yosef says is derech eretz, right? He says, yeah, right. He says he near eighty become a commission derave minag rabbisim chad chatuna holchin v'machom anashim v'nashim. There's mixed dancing, right? A circle dancing.
Oh.
Ze isur gamur midaraisa. Now I could have said that's true. Yeah. Vafilo mishto aser, but he says, but it's even aser to mix dance with your wife in public, right? He said with other people's wives, that's worse. But to dance with your wife is aser because of the lice thing.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what I gave you.
He doesn't say that part, sir. I
said. No, not that. No, okay. Mixed dance, yes.
He says, Hari, I feel I'm bereisha. Even Ayin Beresha, Chazal were Aser.
Okay.
Ah.
But you're right. But he says Aser, right?
Okay.
Okay. So now, what I gave you in 21 and 22 and 23, okay, I'm not going to read them inside, but I will give them to you, is, okay, what about holding hands? Okay. So, Aznid Baru, Rabbinyamin Zilber, was a very prominent posting in the Haredi world. In several Chuvot, I gave you three of them, right, says that all of this is usher because of holding hands, and he thinks that it's even usher to take a walk with your wife for these reasons.
Take a walk with your wife?
Right?
I've seen people do that.
Of some sorts, right? What exactly he means. Now, he mixes with a nida, not with a nida, etc., different cases. But holding hands and litayel, right?
For lunch,
I am pretty
sure. Let me just make sure he doesn't. Let me just say. I'm sorry. He says that you can't even take a walk with your wife who's anida, right? And you can't hold hands ever, okay? Guys, he says you can't hold hands ever, right, in public, and you can't take a walk with your wife who's anida, right? Meaning he has a pretty high bar of what counts as intimacy, right? That's the point.
Oh.
And again,
but the Ramah says it's also to be metallo and mishta anida.
Seems to be the case.
What mitayel means, right? Doesn't mean a walk, doesn't mean like a trip,
or
right?
Whatever. I mean, he used the same lashon.
Correct, but anyways. Now he, but I will just point out a few things, and he says, should you be moche, right? The shoel in 22, right? So now he's very, you know, okay, let me skim a few lines here. Again, I'm not going to read everything inside, but he says, so first he says you should, right, he says you shouldn't right, take a walk with your wife while she's in Edub. It's Dvarim Shel Chiba, and then he quotes the Gemara in, you know, Bava Basra.
That's about
Bava Basra is being Bana guy?
Yeah, Rabbi Bana, right, because he said even, you know, that is considered Hirhurim.
So why is it Matzah Shanita or not?
Well,
why is it Matzah
Shanita? He's sort of mixing and matching, right, saying from there you see how much, right, how low the standard is for things that are Chiba. Right? Mm. And therefore.
Oh, wow.
But then he says, right? No, but then, sorry, no, I was right the first time. But in 21, he says that you shouldn't even take a walk together. Because if you nemer de mutter medina, even if taking a walk is mutter, it's right that husband and wife shouldn't take walks together.
Shouldn't.
Because when people, when couples talk, they speak affectionately. And that causes other people to look and have hear her. Right? Right? And he said sometimes, you know, they're having a fight, and then, you know, you might overhear them. So, like, you know, right? Basically.
I don't think here is in the classic. I think it's not like. I think it's just here, like, the fact that they're married is already, like,
correct.
Kind of empty. Yeah, okay.
Correct, but I'm saying.
I feel like it's going to be here, at this point.
No.
That's not the issue that he's. Is it?
It's yeah. Generic sexual thoughts, right? That's the. I mean, how specific, I don't know.
I remember in the. What's it called? I think. I forget what it was, but he made it like a more of a two sound, more like a two step process. Where first you're just going to recognize the fact that they're married, and that might lead to.
Correct, but he thinks that. Look, watching a couple taking a walk.
You are seeing them too intimate.
He said, no, if husband and wife are walking together and talking romantically and stuff like that, right, it can cause machshavot, right? Again, he says even for other people, right? That was what he said in the beginning, right? So he's pretty machmir, right? He says even holding hands and even maybe walking together, right, in public is a public display of affection. Yeah. Right, that's problematic. Now, in 22, he says, he later in the tshuva said, but you shouldn't protest with people who are doing it. And someone wrote back to, I love when people do this. Wait a second. V'im tomar. Me'achar shekolze. Right, someone asked him. Me'achar shekolze barur da'asr. Lama katafti kodem she'en limchot. Right, someone wrote back to me. He's paraphrasing. If it's usr, then why do you say it's usr, but don't tell people not to do it, right? Don't protest it. Right, 22. The ain lekalkel bazeh shalom bayis, right? Don't let this be the, you know, mizbeach that you sacrifice shalom bayis on, right?
Yeah, that's good.
He says because, and this is amazing. He says mishum de bishnei hadinim avur barama ain lemekor barur, because it both halacha and the Rama have no source, right? Right? He admits that. So, and then he goes on. But what's his point? Right? This is like an amazing tshuva to me. Is he says, I recognize that neither the Rama's prohibition against litayel during nida, nor the Rama's prohibition against public displays of affection have any good source. But I'm still convinced that you shouldn't do it, and I'm going to expand it beyond what the Rama said, but I won't tell you to protest. Right? So you see, right, again, I'm going to give it to you, you can read it yourself, but what you see is one posik who fully recognizes, right, so what have I given you so far? You have the Derech Mekudecho thinks this is a firmiser. The Osnit Bru, who, and Eli collates this, right, says, it's not really usher, but you should be really, really machmir on it, right? Which is like,
weird.
Okay. And then the other extreme, you have poskim like Rav Henkin, who say, no, holding hands is totally fine. You know why?
Is Rav Henkin or Rav Broid?
Rav Henkin. And he says, why is it mutter? and he says, why? His proof is from a Rokeach and the Maharil. Maharil might be more surprising for you. Look at the 25. This is from the Maharil. And many, many Ashkenazi Svarim have this. So if you think it's weird, just know this was the Minhag Ashkenaz for like 500 years. Kasher tavo at Pesach Chatzer Beit HaKnesset. This is at a wedding. When they're coming to Shul, Holei Harav va. All the chashu people are walking. And they would bring the chasen to the kala. So far, totally normal, right? And then the chasen takes her by the hand, right? Biado.
Takes her
with his hand. And while they are holding hands, Zorkin kolam al gabei roshin chiten. Everyone throws weed at their head and says the omrim prur vu gimel pamim. And which, by the way, if, I don't know what you think is going to cause hirurim, except for be fruitful, be fruitful. I have no idea what's going on. This is Minhag Ashkenaz. V'holchen yachad ad etzel bet mitzak meses v'yoshim shaman v'lichen akal l'vesa. So based on things like this, Rav Henkin says, look. Holding hands is not, it's just fine.
Made by him is Rav Henkin?
Yeah, is Rav Henkin.
And it's right for them to touch because she went to the mikvah before the wedding.
But we're not talking about Nida. No. He derives from here that a husband and wife in general can walk outside holding hands because you see.
Were they married yet? Or
oh no, they're not married.
So that's what I'm saying. It's much of her to touch her stomach.
Oh, because yeah, because she went to Nida.
This is the only
chibah.
Time you're actually you're
right.
Before she gets married.
Right.
Okay. So he thinks it's mutter, and I gave you in 27 as well that the rabbis Stav think that it's mutter. And he says, they argue that, look, achizat yadayim, or this is 27, right, holding hands, who eifo gilui chiba klali. I mean, it is affectionate, but it's like a generic one, because I'm sure lezogam bein horim le'yoldehem, right? Parents also hold their kids' hands, right? Oh, a feel chaverim dovim, maybe good hands.
Usually it's more like a follow me.
One second. So therefore, it's not like a public display of intimacy. V'chein, and then he says, they tell you, zichroni shemati me'avi, so he says, I heard from my father, Shmuel Stav, ki ayaroa hagon r'b'cheskel Abramsky, zatzal po tzeh b'rachovot b'yit v'gan, v'zorot shluvot re'ehu. He said, I used to see r'cheskel Abramsky, Haredi posek, right, holding his wife like this, right, not like hands, but like arm in arm, in b'yit v'gan. V'chein he'iru b'fanei al rab, nochum rabinovich li, tzeh arocha b'chovot irim rayeto, and rabinovich does this too, right?
Rabinovich and
Maladumim. Where he says, like,
who wrote this?
These are the Stavs, right? Rabbi Avram and David, father and son.
Stavs.
David and Avram, father and son.
Steve.
Okay?
Great rabbi.
So then I gave you sort of a funny article in the Five Towns Jewish Times in 28, which was Rayar Hoffman always writes sort of these funny articles in the Five Towns Jewish Times where he, you know, had the video of Melania Trump slapping the president's hand away from her when he tried to hold her hand when they came to Israel,
yeah,
right? And he's like, he writes this whole funny article of, oh, maybe it's because they were coming to Israel and it's like they knew the Ramah, or at least they were channeling the Ramah, or whatever, not really, but you know what I mean. What?
Wait, what? Oh.
Right. It's like, right, not because she was angry at him, it's because, no, we're in Israel, we don't, it's the Ramah, we have to be Jewish, right? So he writes this sort of funny article about it.
They're being mocked on the Ramah. It's a joke.
Yes,
yeah, I get it.
Yes, it's a joke. It's a joke. And then at the end, I gave you Ray Dov Linzer's piece on it as well, where you can see he also takes a more makil.
Why do we have this giant article?
What?
This is
what? Because I said I'm not going to cut things out and say what I think is important. I'm trying to get things from across the spectrum.
Like humorous is why you included.
Well, he also quotes Makaros. He quotes Makaros. Now I gave you, if you want, by the way, if you want to do Chazar on the whole thing, so in Linzer's article, he does go, he goes through the sources. Now he is more makil, but he, I'll just finish with this. The one thing he notes that's a bit interesting, right? He goes through some of the issues, right? That hirurim are contextual issues, right? And but he argues, and this is, I haven't seen other people make this point, is what's worse, a public space or a semi-private space, right? So Rav Henkin assumes that that a private space is more problematic because it's more suggestive, right? Because he's focusing on which of the two reasons of the Taz?
The hear her one.
But Dov Linzer notes that if you take the other reason of the Taz, you could argue the opposite, which is that in a semi-private space, meaning someone comes into your house and you're sitting on the couch with your wife, you don't just have to like get up and separate. Why? Because if the problem is chutzpah, right? You shouldn't be doing intimate things in public, right? So it's less problematic if it's in your space, even though it might be more intimate, right? Right, and so he notes that there's actually this difference, that if you conceptualize this or is more about causing error, the more private the space, the more problematic. If you think about this isser as, right, it's not right for me to be being frontal about my intimacy, then it's more problematic in public, not if someone comes into my space. Right?
Right.
And again, you can go through it. You'll see that he's much more makel, also because it's not it's only derech eretz and not halacha. Again, I don't want to draw conclusions, what's us or what's mutter. My point is I've given you now a range of where the sources come from, right? The poskim who take it as a formalist, or those who recognize it as derech eretz, those who recognize it as only derech eretz and are super machmir, those who say it's derech eretz and it's more makil, those who say that the focus is on the causing hearer, and those that focus on the fact that it's the wrong place to be showing affection, right? Now, with all of that, and look, I've given you enough. Part of the, now, in order for this to work, guys, right? It's going to have to be that I don't just give you sheer on everything, right? Like, I can't read everything for you. I gave you these, right? Whatever you feel like you need to answer the question. But element one, the aspect of the public display of affection, just to summarize it, right, is now what we're talking about is not a handshake. We're talking about a hug,
right?
Which is clearly more intimate in a public space, but in a context where it's clearly comforting and not meant to be sexual, right? And what I'm asking you to do here is to take these sources, right? And part one of this is to gauge, okay, right? How usser, or is this isser? What types of things are usser, and does this fit that category, right? This is piece one in that question. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the rest, good luck.